Living in Christ means living in freedom. That's part of our theme today on Chapter and Verse.
There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're free. God does not condemn you. He has already condemned you one time through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. You're free.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus.
Welcome to the Wednesday broadcast of Chapter and Verse, where our teacher Mike McIntosh is taking us through a daily verse-by-verse study of the book of Romans. We'll be devoting a number of broadcasts on CNV to thoroughly review the wonderful verses in chapters 7 and 8. Therefore, there is no condemnation is the title of our message. So now let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans and listen to our teacher, Pastor Mike McIntosh.
But to say, we've all been through the fads, haven't we? And somehow, we manipulated our mom and dad to get exactly what we wanted. Because we manipulated them when we were the firstborn, that they'd pick us up. And then if we were the middleborn in a large family, we've got the older ones beating us up from above and the younger ones from below, and we're like in the middle of a bookcase. And we're that book right in the middle. If we take it out, everything sort of collapses. We begin to realize, and so we start manipulating everybody in the household. There is, therefore, no condemnation. You're free. This is why Jesus died on the cross. You're free. And the knowledge and the truth that you learn from the Holy Scriptures are impacted in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And the person of Jesus is formed in you. And the stronger you become, the more you walk in the Spirit, and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But tomorrow, don't condemn yourself because you took the parking space at Home Depot, and that was really a touch-and-go deal. You had your blinker on just a hair before that person turned their blinker on for that spot. And the whole time you're shopping, you're condemning yourself. And then you pass that person as you're pushing your cart down the aisle, and they look at you and they give you that look. You took my parking space. They don't say anything, but you know what they're thinking. You're condemned. You go to the post office. There's a large line of people. There's a lady that's exactly in front of you with five or six people in front. In the meantime, it's going slow. It's government. And there they are, six behind you. Now, the lady in front of you steps out of line to go get some wrapping materials in a box over on the side. Do you let that person back in line? Or you move ahead to get there quicker? So you choose to get ahead. Then you notice that the person behind you has let the lady in front of them. And you stand there for 20 minutes condemning yourself. And finally you turn around and say, oh, you know, you're here before me. Go ahead and take. Oh, no, that's all right. It's not all right. You know it's not all right. And then it turns into a knockdown dragout. What are you arrested for? Trying to give a guy his space and he didn't want it. We condemn ourselves over the most stupid things. But then when real life comes in, and we do something that we know is wrong to our heart and mind, there is no way we could ever be forgiven. We're going to take the punishment and we're going to flog ourselves to the grave to keep this family secret, to hold on to this situation you caught yourself involved in that nobody knows about. Would you read verse 1 out loud together, please? There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're free. God does not condemn you. He has already condemned you one time through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. You're free. You're free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He did it all on the cross for you and me. And to prove it, He allowed His Father to put Him in the grave and gave the authority to the Holy Spirit and the Father to raise Him from the dead. That was to show us what's waiting for us. Now that we've got the number one issue taken care of, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the last enemy for mankind, men and women, boys and girls, the last enemy to be overcome is death. That's the last enemy. I was standing next to some people at a memorial service, a funeral service, and Philip was helping out. And as we were standing there, a woman said to me, somebody in her family is buried right over there. And then somebody next to her said, well, I have right over here. And I thought, well, my mom's buried right up there. You know, they're buried, but they're not dead if they're in Christ. Because the word condemnation is here. If we are all sinners, and the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He knows that we can't do it in this flesh. So why would He condemn you for your sins, your errors, your mistakes, your shortcomings, and your fault? The condemnation has come upon Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, so that you would be free and that you would walk in the Spirit. And you would no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh. Gentlemen, I am sorry. And ladies, now we find the statistics are really booming with ladies. There is no room for pornography in the throne room of your life that Jesus is supposedly in. Not only is it an insidious way for people to make money, but it is a human trafficking issue of who are those young men and women. And how many are just chained to a bed after they make their movie and shot with heroin? How could you even endorse, let alone absorb, damage that will stick deep in your memory banks and say that you're a Christian? So then you say, you're right, Mike. Oh, gosh. And then you start condemning yourself. There, therefore, is no condemnation for those that are in Christ, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. The moment I step out of the Spirit, I'm free game for this world. And the leadership of this world can shoot at me and do great damage. But the minute I get in the Spirit and I put up that shield of faith, the fiery darts of the wicked one that brings condemnation, they do not hit me because Jesus has given me a shield of faith. And when you or your friend or the person next to you commits gross sin and they know it and you know it and it's an addiction, it's something that they just can't shake loose. If you help them see not 12 steps or 10 steps or 40 steps or a 3-month program or a 6-month program, and I'm not putting them down because some of them do work. They only work as well as the heart of the person they're working with is willing to surrender their flesh. So if they're in a non-spiritual program, they're only dealing with the flesh, the body, and the psychology of the mind, but Jesus is the Spirit to come in and give new birth. But yet, condemning yourself, you've got this issue. Well, it goes down to selfishness. If there is an issue that is bigger than God's word, or the prayer of your wife or your husband or your home fellowship group or your family or friends, and you know they're praying for you, it's about pride in your heart. Especially if you're a full-grown adult and you're limping through life, still trying to live your childhood and see if you can fix those things, which you'll never fix, but it's where all the pain came from. All right, there's therefore no condemnation. I must be a bad girl, a bad boy, because all these things in my life, there is therefore now no condemnation. So are there big sins and are there little sins? Sin, no matter what size it is, will kill you. Sin, no matter if it's a big sin, if you took 50 cents out of the offering bag as it came by, or you robbed a bank and got 50 million. Both of those will separate you from God. So we're mature adults, and we must realize that if I'm a Christian, I am not self-centered. I have been crucified with Christ, and He lives inside of me. And the more I worship God, and the more I read the stories from the Old Testament and see how God worked, and then come into the New Testament and see how it comes together, that I must come to recognize that I'm a wretched man and that I have no way out. Now, this is interesting because Paul the Apostle said a sign of the end of the times would be there would be traitors. We've had a lot of traitors in recent years. But there would literally be perplexity among nations, an international situation with the word perplexity. You're doing an algebra problem, and I'm glad you are. I couldn't. You're doing this problem, and you work it out. And the level you do in trig or calculus or wherever your mind can go, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You're working out. They get more complex. So that word perplexity among nations is something we should look at right now, because if you ever watch the news or read a magazine or a newspaper, you know that there is perplexity among nations, plural, militarily, politically, economically. Will my grandmother and grandfather's side and great-grandparents from Ireland, will their country make it, or is it going to just shut down? Will the people that are in Portugal or Spain, are their countries going to just totally collapse? Or will there be a savior that can stand up and get people to do anything he wants to do, even if he lies? And he will come up through the European market, we're told, in the Old Testament and New Testament. You're watching it right before your very eyes. The Reformation of the Roman Empire, as warned and taught by Daniel the prophet. That person could be alive and ready to make their move right now. But whatever is going on in your heart, whatever your position in this world is, overt or covert, wherever you are, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those that walk in the Spirit. There are troops in Afghanistan. We have troops down in the south. We have troops in Iraq still. We have people all over the world, the Philippines, strategic spots, originally to protect us, the people. And now we're not sure what's going on. But I don't have to have the answers to the world. There's not one iota of intellect of my flesh that is going to carry me forward. It's the Spirit of God that will remind me of wonderful things like this. Yes, I'm a wretched man, but yes, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. You know Larry Peltier, I think most of you, and he used to be the director of the School of Evangelism for years, and he helped me start Horizon Downtown at 6th and Fir. And then he went and took a Methodist church up in Encinitas and has done a wonderful job up there for years. But his wife does not like to cook. Now, they have children, and they're all grown children now, but she still does not like to cook. She says, just bring a bunch of vending machines and line them up on a wall in our kitchen, and I'm in heaven. She really means that, too. And in thinking of her, I was thinking of this little quip that I read yesterday from Calvin Trillian. And it says, the most remarkable thing about my mother is that for 30 years, she served the family nothing but leftovers. The original meal has never been found. Wow. We don't have to have all the pieces. We don't have to feel good. We don't have to get Jesus bumps that I hear people get. And I don't know what kind of a doctor you go to for Jesus bumps, but you don't have to just hear music in the background or angels, strumming harps and say, oh, okay, now I know there's no condemnation. No, you take it right here, right now. You take a big dose of it that there's no condemnation. God's not condemning me. No. The only thing that starts with a C that would compare is God is convicting me. Got it? And if God isn't condemning, who is it that's in your thoughts that is condemning you? The enemy. Psychological warfare. It isn't just for 1 minute, it's for the rest of your life that you have the strength to know. If condemnation comes your way, this is not God. You see, conviction drives me to the cross. But condemnation by the devil pulls me away from the power of the cross. So if I stop walking in the flesh and keep in the spirit, you do not have to take this anymore the rest of your life. God is not condemning you. He took all of your sin and placed it on his son, Jesus Christ, and it was once and for all dealt with. But we have been trained to live segmented lives. I was forgiven once. That was back then when I started sitting over there. Now this guy next to me, I got that big chair. I wanted that one. And you see it in pieces and boxes. When really, you've been born again. There are no limitations. There's nothing that you cannot conceive. If the Spirit of the Lord has brought it to you, that you cannot accomplish with his strength and his power. None of you sitting in the bleachers came with a construction expert, an engineer, a surveyor, a tape measure, and started to make sure that those bleachers would hold you. You sat down. That took a lot of faith. I remember when we built this gymnasium, and we did not have a penny to build it. But we said, let's go ahead. And when we moved on this campus, there was no parking. So Ray Bentley had left the North Park Theater, and he started in that area of the county, Ranch Bernardo. And other people went different ways, and a group of people, about 2,000, came here. So I was mentioning how that let's all pray for the parking lot. We need to get about $10,000 to put in a parking lot so that we can have this many people coming. It was very cheap at that time. Now it's $300,000. A man came up to me from Texas, and he said, how much would that lot cost? I said, $10,000 is the best bid we have. He said, well, my daughter and I hadn't been talking for a long, long time, and she left the family and got into cocaine, and our hearts were broken, and she ended up in San Diego. And we heard the life that she was living, and we had no hope. And then she ended up here. And then she went to the School of Evangelism. This is not only our daughter that we knew, but one that is glowing so much. We can only give thanks to God. Here's a check for $10,000. Now, you don't equate salvation and money. But you can equate a leper that comes back and says, "Thank you, Lord. Were there not 10 of you?" "Yes, sir." "And weren't they of the faith and you're like a Samaritan or something?" "Yes, sir." So 9 have gone and you're the only one to come back and say thank you. So let us stand right now. Let us bow our hearts and let us quietly take a moment and release personal prayers of thanks to God that there is no condemnation and that you are free. Let's bow our hearts. Lord, hundreds of people stand before you, and we all want to just thank you. Just as St. Paul said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Once and for all, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Just thank him right now. Just praise him. Pray to him. Be a grateful man. Be a grateful and humble woman. Be honest with yourself like Paul. You've got to come to the end of yourself. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" There is, therefore, now no condemnation. God, we can't thank you enough for your love. We can't thank you enough for releasing us by such a statement that when we're walking with you, there's no way you are condemning us. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We're grateful. We thank you. This week, Father, as we depart, we're asking the moment we step out of this building, we pray for those that are in the overflow rooms that they too would sense something fresh and new, burdens lifted. We're taking you at your word, Father. And it says that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we take that word and we put it together, Father, with that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. We do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We hold on to these verses and we're trusting you because we believe they are true. But we also believe there's power that comes with them when we receive them. So I pray for those that are listening on the radio and those that are on the World Wide Web, that they would take a moment to bow their hearts also to you and just say, "Thank you, God. Thank you for loving and forgiving me, a wretched sinner." May the load of people trying to be perfect just be taken today. May the pressures of trying to please everybody and really getting nothing accomplished in their lives just take the load from us all. And let this week be a great week that we can tell each other next Sunday that something happened and I was not condemned. And usually in situations like this, I'm always condemned. So Father, let this wonderful promise permeate San Diego through these people that will experience firsthand they're not being condemned by you. They're being loved by you. Release us now into your service. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen.
As we observe the logical and persuasive teaching of Paul in Romans chapter 7 and 8, we find that the human race is neatly divided into two categories: those who follow their sinful nature and those who are led by the Holy Spirit. We'll learn more about the implications of this simple but profound fact on our next edition of Chapter and Verse. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. Then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Romans, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. Now, before we end our time together, if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, to give your financial support, drop us a line at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Let me invite you to join us here on Thursday for our next study in the book of Romans. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.